Ladies and gentlemen, I've got great news. I think you're going to like it. You have more time than you think, more energy than you can ever use, more potential than you'll ever need. And if you believe that, I've got some oceanfront property right here in Arizona that I would love for you to purchase. I would love to sell it to you. I think that you intellectually understand the concept of time value of money. The whole notion that a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow. Why is that? Well, that's because money can certainly grow. You can earn more money. You can multiply it while you're sleeping through compound interest. But the uncomfortable part of it is so can your habits, so can your discipline, so can your indulgence, so can your avoidance. Compounding, it doesn't care about how you feel about anything. We treat money like it compounds, and we treat everything else as though it resets daily. But the, I don't know if it's an uncomfortable truth, the uncomfortable truth. Is that the name of Al Gore's book? An inconvenient truth. This is also potentially a very inconvenient truth that that's not how it goes. Your energy, your attention, your time, it doesn't necessarily reset daily, because you're never going to be any younger than you are right now. You're never going to be more biologically capable than you are right now. You're never going to be less encumbered than you are right now. Today, you right now are holding your prime capital, and most of us are spending it as though we won the lottery, like we have some kind of ill-gotten gains that we can just blow through. But the reality is, the reality of our most valuable resources, time, energy, attention, and money, is that those again are all compounding. I talk to my clients about compound interest, about just money growing without being taxed. Oh, year and year again, you're getting a rate of return on a bigger sum of money. That's a beautiful thing, but that also applies to time. Think about if you spent 5 years lifting weights, if you spent 5 years reading every day, if you spent 5 years doing the things that it took to have a successful marriage, if you spent 5 years building a new skill, and you've done all of these things potentially in some form or fashion, it's not five new units of effort. There is an absolute exponential shift that will have taken place. Think about energy. You can't, unfortunately, outhack your biology forever, because maybe you've experienced this as well, that we just don't recover the way that we used to. We need more sleep, need more rest. Our hormones are always changing. And of course, our obligations are certainly, always changing and evolving and probably getting more. So when you are wasting your prime energy today, it is absolutely irreplaceable. This is an irreplaceable form of capital. And so it goes for attention as well, because what you repeatedly show up to, what you repeatedly attend or observe, that becomes who you are internally. The whole idea of you are what you eat. Well, if the inputs that you're giving, let me put that a better way, you become the summary of the inputs that you are putting into your head, which is super obvious, but I don't know that we think about it enough. So you think about if you're constantly putting outrage into your head, well, that's going to compound. If you're just constantly distracting yourself and sort of numbing yourself, well, that's going to compound, just as mastery does, just as mastery would. I think that we understand the money one. I think that we understand that it's better to start saving early than it is to start saving later, because when we start early, it's going to give us leverage. And if we start late, that's going to equate to more pressure for us. The whole thing is, the longer we wait to pursue our most important financial goals and objectives, the harder they become. So instead of starting when we were 20 or zero, like would have been perfect, if we're waiting until we're 45, it's obviously just going to be harder than when we are 25. It's not a reason to not do it. It's just a cautionary tale that we need to remind ourselves of. And certainly comfort, we're talking about comfort that has an interest rate, that has a form of a yield on it, because it sure does feel good right now, but it costs, it extracts later. Overeating, overspending, over-scrolling, over-resting, over-avoidance. Each of those feel, kind of benign or harmless when we look at them just in isolation. But when we compound those, oof, it has a devastating, absolutely devastating impact on us, on our lives, on our situation. So I know that I'm awesome at avoiding things, and I bet that you're awesome at avoiding things too. Yeah. You want to eat delicious food. Yeah. You want to relax. Yeah. You want to buy cool stuff. Yeah. You want comfort. But the real question is not, do I want this? The real question is, at what cost am I willing to pay? At what cost over time am I going to be paying? And then am I willing to pay that? Because every decision has an interest rate that is attached to it. You might not see it on the receipt as you are buying that thing, but it's on there. Potential is perishable. I like to talk about potential. I admire it. I praise it. But if we don't use it, it decays. It's like a muscle, like anything else. It'll atrophy. It will eventually go away. We will not have any potential at all. It will all fall through our fingers. And regret has the highest compounding rate of all of them. That I think that we know. Certainly, if you live long enough, you're going to recognize where it is that you squandered. You're going to recognize where it is that you misallocated resources. The a well-lived life, it's not supposed to be some form of misery. It's not supposed to be a life of just abstaining from joy. It's not some form of asceticism where I'm just beating myself up every day and inflicting pain on myself for the purpose of inflicting pain on myself. It's not monk-like denial where I take some kind of a vow of poverty, because I've certainly not done that. What we're really driving at and getting at is alignment, because the starting point is, this is what matters to me. So lame, so boring, but so foundational. This is what matters, and I know what it is that matters. I understand what must be done to get or get more of, to start getting those things that really do matter. And then it's making good decisions on how I'm allocating my most valuable resources, time, energy, attention, and money. Everything else, well, it's kind of a form of tax. We're taxing all of those things. Because there's no neutrality. You're either compounding strength or you're compounding weakness. You're either building the future you claim that you want, or you're financing the future that you really are afraid of and that you don't want. The market's always open. Stock market's not always open, but the market of life is always open. And it does, in fact, settle every day. The only question that really matters is when your future self reviews the trades that you've made today, will he or she thank you, or will he or she charge you interest on that? Because once again, everything costs. Nothing is free. As Thomas Sowell said, there are no trade-offs, there's no solutions, there are only trade-offs. And if I've not already done it, I'm interested in yucking your yum a little bit further. One of the ultimate trade-offs that we're looking at right now are these GLP-1 drugs. If you are somebody who struggled with your weight and all of a sudden you have the opportunity to, apparently in a pill form, pop a pill and you're going to lose weight, well, that's probably too good to pass up for many people. And as it works out, it is. And I just wonder, Do we not care about the side effects? Do we not worry about the adverse consequences, the unintended consequences that are coming along with it? Are you aware of them? Are you taking GLP-1s, and do you not are you not aware that there are consequences to them? It's an honest question, because of course there are. Of course there are. I mean, sarcopenia is such a real thing. And if you're going to go ahead and throw that into your AI and tell me what it tells you, and I can go ahead and tell you what it told me, because I did that earlier today. And I remember when GLP-1s came out for the first time, and they've probably been out for a really long time, but the actual commercial application where so many human beings are stabbing themselves with it or whatever, however they're consuming them. I've been aware of sarcopenia for a really long time, because as soon as these things came out, I'm like, oh, well, there's no panacea. There never has been, there never will be. So what's this? So sarcopenia, what AI said was that, I'll just read it to you, is that sarcopenia, muscle loss, are actually growing among experts, though they're often overshadowed by the drug's massive success in fat reduction and metabolic benefits. While significant muscle mass, sometimes 15 to 40% of total weight loss, can occur, it's often viewed as a manageable side effect rather than a reason to stop treatment, because da, 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 da. You can lose 40% of your muscle mass and bone density. And the unfortunate part about that is what sarcopenia is. It's a condition that affects older people, like really old people, senior citizens, where because they're not getting enough nutrients, because they're not getting enough exercise, they start to lose muscle mass, connective tissue, but bone density. And here's the bad news is you can't get that back. You can't get bone density back. So if you're a young person and you're giving yourself sarcopenia, which you're doing, you're essentially just creating the conditions for you to become an elderly human being at whatever age you're all that you're at. So let me take this one step further just to really ram this home. If you're giving this to a child, shame on you. Absolutely shame on you, because you are turning that child into an old person that they'll never be able to recover from. So you make the decision. This is a value based decision, and it could be that you are a person who is so overweight that the cost of that sarcopenia could be a good trade-off, because maybe you're going down a path where you're going to actually die, because the extra weight that you're carrying around is taking too big of a tax or putting too big of a strain on your body. So, not a solution, it's a trade-off. So you're making a trade-off, which is the whole purpose of this entire chat or conversation today. Everything costs. And I encourage you to ask yourself, at what cost am I making this decision? And then to look and see across the different elements of your life, of the six different areas that I talk about, family, community, career and your finances, well-being, personal development, and peace of mind. I created something called the compounding audit for you to go through and say, okay, where am I making trade-offs that aren't benefiting me? Where am I making mistakes and trade-offs, and where could I be doing better? Again, I want you to be making decisions about these things. Just because I think it's wrong doesn't mean that you think it's wrong. I totally get and appreciate that. There's a cost. Everything costs. And the last thing I want is to wake up and be like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that I was doing this. I didn't realize that the cost was so great to these decisions that I'm making. I want your eyes to be wide open, be super clear. Choices you're making, how are you going to feel about that a year from now, 5 years from now, 20, 30 years from now? And the whole idea here is we want to do our part by doing our best.